This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Hallelujah. One more prayer before we sit. Lord, show me your face. Show me your glory like Moses cried. Can you lift your voice and pray tonight? Lord, show me. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Maraka para sotope leke friatabai. Lanta para kosope leke faradabai. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Ela barata mayana de nana. Can you lift your hands wherever you are? Lift your hands. Inside, outside, lift your hands. Let me see your face. You don't have to sing. Just lift your hands. Just lift your hands. And your glory, Lord. Let me know you more. Than I have known you, Lord. Let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Let me know you more than I have known you, Lord. Tonight, let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Let me know you more than I have known you, Lord. Let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Let me know you more. Let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Let me know you more than I have known you, Lord. Let me see your face and your glory, Lord. Let me know you more. Father, visit us tonight and into the following sessions from tomorrow. Let no one be the same. Let destinies be altered. Let the sick be healed. Let light come into our spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, can you be seated in this atmosphere? Just be seated in this atmosphere. Jesus is here. Everything I need is here. To be like our pre-conference, not even just like, but our pre-conference service. And I know our lives will never be the same in the name of the Lord Jesus. And let me also celebrate our Kefi family. They are following us right now and will be following all the sessions. The Lord honor you greatly in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Tonight, I want to share something very simple and powerful that I believe will be the foundation for the many things we'll be learning and sharing all through the conference. Please, I need your spirit, I need your hearts to be open. Some of the things you'll be hearing might be completely new revelations to some of you, and that's very powerful. It gets you exciting when you learn new things about the Lord. But for many, they are going to be repetitions of truth. Listen carefully. And when truth is repeated, it builds conviction. And that's where the result of a believer starts. Say amen. That repetition builds convictions. It builds convictions, and that's where the life of a believer starts producing results. It's not just in learning something new, it has to become part of your spirit, and this is very important. Very important. So, I need you to pay attention that even if these are things you've learned before, then let your convictions be solidified. And if there are new revelations, get excited, but beyond that, allow them to sit in your spirit. Amen. From tonight, all through the conference, I know that our lives will never be the same. Amen. All right, so can we bring out our writing materials, our Bibles, as we get into the Word of God? Meanwhile, let me use this opportunity also to welcome a dear friend and a brother. Can you celebrate Apostle Michael Elohi? God bless you, sir. Thank you so much for being around. The Lord honor you. Amen. A very great man of God doing great things for the Lord in Kaduna. Amen. Thank you so much for the sacrifice. And happy birthday, Narias. God bless you, sir. Amen. All right, so let's get into the Word of God, and I know our lives won't be the same. All right, young and yielded. Say amen. Now, I'm sure those who are elderly people here, we say, is this service for us? Absolutely. Amen. So whether you are young, you are old, you need to be yielded to the Lord. But I decided to title it Young and Yielded. From tomorrow now, we can start talking about light and start talking about the kingdom of God. Amen. All right, young and yielded. Can we have Ecclesiastes? Let's start with a few scriptures.
Young Alana Bakara, you are tired. Young Alana Bakazuchi, your time. Young Alana Bakaduki, your time. Young Alana Bakara, you are
time.
La 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 la
la la la la la
la la la la
la la
la la
la la la
Yang Allah na bakasuciata,
na bakasuciata.
Yang Allah na bakara you are
na, na bakara you are.
Yang Allah na bakatukiata,
na bakasuciata.
Yang Allah na baka arzikina,
na baka arzikina.
La 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 la
la.
Hallelujah. You don't hear how Sam, the Lord give you understanding. In Jesus' name. You can ask your neighbor. What does that song mean before I waste my time trying to explain to you again? Just assume I'm speaking in tongues. If your brother cannot even explain, just assume I was speaking in tongues. Amen. All right, Ecclesiastes 12:1. Let's use that scripture to lay a foundation quickly. Ecclesiastes, thank you. The Bible says, now take your volume down a little. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Remember your creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come or come not, nor the years draw near, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So he said, remember the Lord your God in the days of your youth, that there is a season coming in your life, and then he calls it evil days. There are days where you won't have pleasure in certain things, and it is true. Now, write this down, that not every time is convenient for everything. Not every time is convenient for everything. That all things are not possible at all times. They are possible only at the right timing. I really want us to learn all through this conference. So pay attention. That not every time is convenient for everything. And all things are not possible at all times. They are only possible at the right timing. That there are time frame attached to certain possibilities in our lives. Meaning, if you don't experience such possibilities within those time frames, allocated to those possibilities, it might take the mercy of God for you to still experience such things or such possibilities. And this is very true. Imagine a woman who has not given birth at 75. It is still possible to give birth, but it is not convenient. Is that true? It's not convenient. The possibility exists. Of course, we know Sarah gave birth at 90 and of all of those powerful testimonies, but that it is not convenient at that season of your life. And imagine a girl also of 5 telling you, I want to get married. That's also not very possible. Some family, maybe tradition, can marry her off and do all kinds of traditional things, but that it is not legal. It's not even supposed to be that way. So marriage is not possible for that girl at that age. It is not convenient for that girl at that age. And imagine a girl now of 10 not still talking, or a child of 10 not still walking. That is also an aberration. It's an anomaly. It's not supposed to be that way. That not every time is convenient for everything. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you two more scriptures. Isaiah 55 verse 6. Because even our seeking the Lord has a time frame attached. No longer working. Because I'm not hearing something from you. Thank you. Isaiah, are we there? Now, everybody look up. One to read. It says, seek ye the Lord while he might be found, and call ye upon him while he's near. So that there is a season of your life that the Lord will seem to be near. Call him in that season. Seek him in that season. Remember one time that everything that happens in your life has time in attached. Remember one time the Bible tells us of a fig tree. Jesus is passing by that fig tree, and then he saw leaves on that fig tree, and he came to that tree expecting to see fruit. Now, if you read that story very well, the Bible tells us that although it was not time for figs to bear, so that fig tree, was not guilty at all. The only offense of that tree is that it had leaves, keeping a posture that made it look as though it was a season to bear. So Jesus was invited by the way that tree looked, although it had no fruit. But then the Bible said it was not time. So originally, that tree was not supposed to have leaves. If Jesus had not seen leaves on that tree, of course, he would have understood timing and he would have allowed that tree. But that he put up a form that made it look like it has gone against the season to produce, and there was no fruit in it. And the Bible said Jesus cursed it. Jesus cursed it. So timing is very important. Very, very important. That not everything is possible at every season of your life. There are many of us now, elderly among us, that cannot do all of this dry fast we do. They can't even stay for 24 hours without eating. And if you're a young person here and you can't fast, then your life is under attack. Say amen. That you stay from morning, 12 o'clock, you're already shaking and your body is not normal. You want to eat. No. Something is wrong. Because the Bible tells us that the glory of the young man is what? Is his strength. So you should glory because you have strength. You can stay for days waiting upon the Lord and fasting and doing all of that. Because a season of your life will come. You will have to depend on everything you did while you were young. I've told a lot of people, especially those my beloved people in KFU who are students, 90% or 98% students. I've always told them, and they are listening now, that every time God gives you admission, this thing you call admission, I even hear somebody sharing testimony now, I've gotten admission and glory to God. It's very important, but listen. God gives you admission for 3 major reasons. I've learned that from my own life. Number one, to build a robust spiritual life. It is very important. You have to learn this. That when you are in school, and this is why I'm encouraging everybody, just in case you've not gone there yet, make plans to go to school. Say amen. When you are in that campus, your father is not there to say, wash my clothes, wash my car. You have all the time to yourself. Now, it depends on how you use that time in that campus. Your life will completely depend on how you use that time, rather. So it's very important when God gives you admission, the first thing he's giving you is an opportunity to build a robust spiritual life. Number two, he's giving you, of course, an opportunity for exposure, academic exposure, which is very important. And then number three, He's giving you an opportunity to build valuable relationships. Say amen. Many people will go through school and study courses they will never use in their lifetime, but that they will meet people in school that they will be friends till eternity. Is that true? Yes. That result is almost useless. You might not use it. Like my own, I collected my own after 2 years. Think about that. I don't even know where it is now. Oh Lord, have mercy. But there are relationships, there are people I met in that school. For instance, First Lady. Oh dear Jesus. Now you see it now. Destiny relationships. Destiny relationships. So God puts you in that environment. Don't snub everybody. There are governors you will meet wearing jeans that are torn. Believe it. There are senators you will meet as your classmates. Don't snub everybody. It's an opportunity to build fruitful relationships. And this is very important. If you see an old man struggling at old age, among many reasons, he did not build valuable relationships. Because you can't tell me everybody you were mate with did not succeed. No. No. One of the ways to secure your old age is to build fruitful relationships now. So that even if things don't turn out well for you, somehow they might turn out well for somebody you treated well. Is that true? Very true. Seasons are very, very important. Look at what Job said about his days of youth. I'm just trying to lay a foundation with this and we'll get into the details. Job 29 and verse 4. Job 29 and verse 4. As I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacles, meaning I contended for light in the days of my youth. I went for knowledge in the days of my youth. I was a very, very knowledgeable young man. The secret, the mysteries of God were upon my tabernacle, my mind. If you read down, he said, every time I stand and I speak, people keep quiet. Even elders stood to pay obeisance. It was a very, very strategic lifestyle. Young men rose. Thank you. Put up the scripture. The verse before this. Young men saw me and they hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood for me on account of knowledge, on account of light. This is Feast of Light. Next verse, please. Then he said, the princes refrain from talking, meaning every time I speak, they don't even have what to say again. A level of intelligence and knowledge. And then they laid their hands on their mouth. Very amazing. And nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth on account of knowledge. And he said, all of this happened in the days of my what? My youth. They happened in the days of my youth. Thank you, media. One more scripture. John 9 and verse 4. Jesus is speaking here about his own life. Look at what he said. He said, I must walk the walk of him that sent me. While it is day. Then he said, the night cometh when no man can walk. I must walk the walk of him that has sent me. I must engage while I am strong. The word day here means the days of my strength, the days of my youth. I must walk the walk of him that has sent me while I have strength, because the night cometh. And of course, the night here talks about a season of your life. There are four seasons. Let me just summarize. I've taught on that. There are four seasons of everybody's life. And the first season is your morning season. It is between age 1 to 25. It is called the morning season of your life. And that season of your life is dedicated to learning. It is the formative stage of your life. That's when you go to primary school. That's when you go to secondary school. And if God has so helped you with the system of Nigeria, maybe you would have graduated. And if God did not so come through for you, or something happened around your society, you are still looking for admission with the situation of Nigeria. But that according to the timing of life, you are supposed to even be a graduate at 25. Is that it? Yes, that's the morning session. It is dedicated to learning. It is the formative stage of your life where you build capacity, you discover purpose. Now the second season of your life is the afternoon season, from 26 to 50. That season of your life is completely result oriented. That season of your life is not the season for English, brother. That season is not the season to sit back and you are still trying to find where you are. No. If at that season you don't know your purpose, you are late. If at that season you don't know where you are going with your life, you are late. That's the season to have discovered who you are. You have discovered why you are on earth. You have discovered where you are going to. I mean, with precision, not trying to guess your way through life. No. From 26, you should have known it. Then you begin to produce the result. Because listen carefully, that 98% of every successful person got to the peak of their success before 50. Yes, sir. Mark Zuckerberg before 50, right? Is that true? Ronaldo before 50, is that it? Messi before 50, is that it? Sinat before 50, is that it? Joshua Selman before 50, is that it? No, that's what I'm talking about. Kenan Land was built before Bishop became 50. Glory Dome, his birthday was done. His 50th birthday was celebrated in Glory Dome. I mean, there is a level of that is expected from you before 50. That season of your life is dedicated to achievement, dedicated for result, dedicated for accomplishment. So if you are between 26 and 50 and you are still joking, doing boyfriend, girlfriend, and then you don't even know where you're going, everybody is serious, you come to church, no jota, no Bible, wake up. No, wake up. While everybody is busy writing visions and then writing the things they are going to become, you look and say, now, wow, Nasabi, right. Wake up. You are behind time. Believe me. Or everybody is praying when a prayer point is given, and then you just stand there and you are looking and staring at everybody. He said, this will get strength, too. You know, there is an age you get to, you become responsible by force. Is that true? So when you keep warning people about certain things and they are not hearing, leave them, allow them. They will learn through pains and time. Believe me, pain can. One day I was sitting down counseling, this isn't long ago, before we built this one, that hall we used to have here, I was sitting down counseling, and here comes a man. He told me, are you the man of God? I've never met him. Are you the man of God? Yeah, I said, yes. I want to see you. I said, I'm here for everybody. Then he said, I am around 42 now. I don't know where I'm going with my life and I'm tired. I said, that's exactly it. It happens around 40. You will feel exhausted. You will feel tired. You will feel stupid at the same time, because nothing is working. So when you see people sagging their trousers and putting it by their legs, allow them. And if you check around, they might be around 17, 18, 21. Allow them. When you get to 26, the trouser will jack up a little. That's how it works. I mean, after a while, when you get to 30, the trouser will come up. The moment you get to 35, the trouser is on your waist. 40, it has gotten up here. Do you understand? While you laugh, listen and pay attention. I mean, time, responsibility is making you become sensible. Hallelujah. I hope you are ready all through this conference. Yes, so you have to be. You have to be. I must walk the walk of him that have sent me while it is day. You are a young man of God. You have to be serious while you are young. You have to be. I know, of course, the dealings of God differ here and there, but that it should not be that it was on account of your unseriousness. It should be that you did your part. You were only positioned waiting for God to also. You understand the point now? The third season of your life is what we call the evening season. It's from 51 to 75. That's the season where you begin to build legacy. That's when you build strategic legacy. You can write books and document your experiences. You have come through a lot in life and you are full of wisdom. That's when gray hair is beginning to come. And the Bible tells us that the glory of the old man also is his gray hair. That's when you begin to, you can write books. You can release audio teachings and video clips just to bless your generation. Mentor your generation. And this is very strategic. This is when you build companies so that when you die eventually, your children will not mourn for too long. Let me tell you, if you see prolonged mourning, the man was not useful. This is not to sound insulting, but it's to challenge somebody. Do you know if your father died and left so much for you, you only cry for a while and say, thank you, Jesus. He was a responsible man. Blessed be this man. May you rest with the Lord. Then you look back and say, where is the land? Where are the papers? Where is the estate and everything? So that you know where to begin with your life. Is that true? Now imagine your father died and left you. All he left were debt. Ah, may that not be your testimony. See, make up your mind. I know many of our parents try their best, but make up your mind that when your children come to your deathbed while you are about to live in your 80s and 90s, they'll be telling you, daddy, thank you for everything you did for us. You understand? As they are talking like that, they know what you have left for them. The Bible says a good man leaveth inheritance for his children's children. Can you imagine that even your grandchildren should not be poor on account of you? The evening season of your life is dedicated to building legacies. Then the night season, that's when you rest from 76 to 100, if God grant you grace to remain. Hallelujah. That's when you rest. Submitting CV at 80 is not a testimony. Or getting a miracle job at 90. Don't share the testimony. Keep it to yourself. Hallelujah. It's not. That's when you should be resting with your grandchildren. Is that it? Yes. They come for weekend, they disturb you and make you run around in your old age trying to gather them around. I mean, old age is exciting only if you did well. It's frustrating if there is nothing. In fact, let me tell you, people die early when they don't have anything left or anything kept. Are you aware? Why do you think wealthy people can stay for so long? They are old, though. They will tell you this one is 90. The person has refused to die. Why will you die when all is well? While there are people who are young, they are wishing death. Have you also seen people like that? Is there anything about this life? Let me just die and go. The person talking now doesn't have one naira. He's frustrated. He wants to go because things are not working. If things were working, he wouldn't be wishing death. Your evening season is for rest. That one is not for labor. If we see you walk between that age, is a proof that many things were not done right. Many. So Jesus said, I must walk the walk of him that has sent me while it is day. For the night cometh, a season of my life that I can't walk again. And that season is coming upon every, believe me. I think some days back, I sat with, we were just sitting with the first lady and we're gisting. And I asked her, my next lady, how old am I, self? I said, now, wow. This thing is not even waiting at all. Some of you are like that. You are just looking at me. You, how old are you? Huh? Some of you, it's true. You just sit back. You are celebrating birthday. As you are saying, thank you, Jesus. At the same time, you are like, is it me? You used to be 23 and you were jumping around, jumping on everybody's shoulder, calling everybody and dancing and traveling up and down. Now, your last birthday, you were 29. You are like, is it me? 29th? Yes, sir. You are the one. Yes, ma'am. You are the one. Very soon, the next one will be 30. And you will now know that time waits for no man. Oh. I remember telling the our precious people in Kefi did some many years back. I think that's when family worship just started. That even if you enter your room and stop the wall clock in your room, it's just the one in your room you stopped. When you come out, the one outside is moving. It doesn't wait for you. No, it doesn't wait for you. It keeps making progress. Now look at the counsel given in Lamentation 3 and verse 27. Lamentation 3. Thank you. Everybody look up. Want to read. It is good for a man that he should bear his yoke when in his youth. It is good that a man should bear his yoke when he's young. Now, this is not a question of whether you are going to bear that yoke or not. You will bear it. It's just a matter of timing. You are the one to choose when to carry the yoke. The yoke is allocated to every individual, everybody. So you are the one to decide when to carry that yoke. If you don't carry it when you have strength, you will carry it when you don't have strength. No, that's what it means. So the counsel is, carry it when you are strong. Dance around and you are not doing anything, you will still carry it. Oh yes, you will. You will. You will. Everybody somehow must pay rent. Is that it? Everybody somehow must pay children's school fee. Is that it? Everybody somehow. So ensure you strategize now. Build capacity now, because a season is coming. If you have not built capacity, believe me, the weight will be so much on you. So much. And that's unfortunately, I say this with every sense of responsibility. Unfortunately, that's the situation with many of our parents. Now, mama is already around 60, but she still goes to the market to sit, and all kinds of things are happening. It's not supposed to be like that. Unfortunately, somebody must do something to bring food to the table. Are you saying this? Now, you might sit back and watch and think your parents are not just smart. When my time comes, let me tell you, if you don't do anything different, you will get same result. You will get same result. You cannot park where your parents park and expect different result. No. This is why it's important to hear teachings like this. You might have to wake up. Some of you might have to go back to your old jotters. We are the things you wrote. We are the visions you wrote. We are the plans you wrote. You packaged all of them and kept them somewhere. And now you're walking around as if there is nothing on your head. No, sir. Gather them back. Begin to go through them. 2002, God gave you a vision and spoke to you about a restaurant. So period, God spoke to you, told you about a business, and you've forgotten everything. God spoke to you and told you about an online ministry or something, and you just close it as though, no, sir. Go back to those dreams. This is the time to walk. It's time to walk. Hallelujah. The psalmist cried, he says, satisfy us early. Early satisfaction, brother, is very important. Very important. Early satisfaction. Got married at the right time. And even if marriage was not happening, at least you were walking in purpose. Is that it? Yes. Marriage will come and join you later, but ensure you are walking in purpose. Ensure that finances are working. Ensure that you know where you are going with your life. Because around this part of the world, the moment nothing else is working, they will pressure you to get married. Let me tell you, if you were so wealthy as a woman, as a lady, taking care of your entire family, they won't even tell you about marriage. Do you understand? Imagine you were doing very well as a lady, taking care of everybody. They won't even tell you about it. They will think the man is even coming to eat from you. So just remain like this. But hence, nothing is working. Get somebody and produce children. Hallelujah. Let's get to the details of our teaching. How How do I yield to the Lord? We're talking about young and yielded. How do I yield? How do I submit to the Lord? And of course, we say that it's important you do it in the days of your youth. It's important you do it while you are young. There are many of us here, listen, you got born again at 30. See, you need a mentor quickly. Quickly. What did I say? You got born again at 30. The many things in your mind now, even when they are teaching you John 3:16, you are thinking about money. Are you aware? No, it's like it's like going to primary school as a man. Look for somebody who went to school late. Ask him. I mean, you started secondary school at Jesus 1 at 18. There are people like that. Do you know when they are teaching? And now is the name of person. You are not hearing, no? Let me tell you. Especially if you are the one fending for yourself, as they are teaching that you are thinking of where to go and get the next daily bread, you are not hearing. Same thing happened to when you get born again late. You get born again late. A lot of things are behind schedule. You need a mentor quickly. Join a foundation class. If possible, look for a Bible school. Sit down there and learn. I mean, you need a very quick walk. A lot of us were fortunate, at least, started with the Lord from a young age. Your parents were in church. They gave birth to me in church. So when you were born, the whole thing, you went to church by force until it became by will. Do you understand? You didn't have a choice. You must go to church. Then eventually you now decided, all right, by choice now. If it's like that for you, praise God. But there are those who are completely late. Completely late. For people like that, you know, many times when people come around me, especially maybe young ministers that are just starting, they look at me and like, Apostle, this. I'm like, don't try to do it like me. Oh, my father was a pastor. If care is not taken, your own father was a herbalist. So while you are trying to break covenants, the ones my father broke covenants already. So me, I'm only journeying into the spirit while you are trying to do what? Now think about it. And you dare not say they don't exist. You heard the testimony of Moses. No, you would think it's, I've prayed with people like that. Apostle, I want to marry this girl, but there's a spirit that comes to tell me don't dare it. No, you will think it's a joke, but welcome to Africa and to Nigeria particularly. Welcome. Hallelujah. There are people right now, every night you pray, they come to oppress you. Meanwhile, there are people, they conquered this thing long. They were born in Christian homes. They don't even know what it means to be oppressed. Because their parents did a lot of binding and losing. Now you just came. Your father is a herbalist. How do you try to compare yourselves? Hallelujah. This is very, very important. Or your parents still visit herbalists now. Do you even make incantation for you? Bless my son. I mean, while you are in church praying and saying, Lord, things must shift. She's also there saying, Lord, it's like two forces. You don't even know which one is working for you. Hallelujah. Young and yielded. It's important to seek the Lord. I read Good Morning, Holy Spirit 2010. Some of you don't even know there is any book called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I got admission, went into school 2010, carried that book, and that opened me up to unusual ministry and manifestation of the Holy Spirit. 2010. Now, you just got born again. You don't even know if there is a thing called, you know those guys, Peter went to and asked them, are you baptized with the Holy Ghost? They said, we don't even know there is any Holy Ghost. It's in your Bible, the book of Acts. I mean, they have been born again, though. Peter went to Samaria to visit them and said, have you guys been baptized with the Holy Ghost? They were like, Holy Ghost? Who is Holy Ghost? We don't even know there is any Holy Ghost. Then he asked them, of what baptism? They say, what was the baptism of John? He said, you guys are behind time. Come, kneel down, all of you. There are people like that right now. They don't even know there is anything like that. Hallelujah. How do I yield to the Holy Spirit? Number one, by receiving his life. By receiving his life. By receiving his life. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Oh, give me you. Give me you. Everything else. Everything else can wait. Oh,
give me you. I hope I'm not too late.
Hallelujah. By receiving his life. And that's what we call the born again experience. I told you a lot of things you will hear might be repetition of truth. I've taught on this countless times, but pay attention. I've told you there is a difference between receiving the life of God and giving your life to God. Is that it? Yes, pay attention. What I'm talking about now is receiving his life. And we call that the born again experience or the new birth. And this is very important. John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, that's the key word, received him. To them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you receive him by believing in his name. When you believe in Jesus, you believe that he came, died for your sins, was resurrected, and right now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. When you believe that, you receive his life. The Bible says, with the heart man believe, and with the mouth confession is made unto righteousness. The moment you believe that, you are a child of God. And it then means you have received his life. It means you have received his life. And this is the beginning point of whatever you will ever do with God, or whatever God will ever do with you. It depends on this step. This is where it starts from. Giving or receiving his life, rather. Asking him for mercy, for forgiveness of sin, and then believing everything Jesus did for you for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. This is very, very important. And when this is done, you are born again. You receive the life of Christ. It is called Zoe, eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 11. The Bible tells us that this is the record that we have the life of God. This is the record that God had given us eternal life. And that this life is where? In his son. Eternal life Zoe is in his son. Next verse. And then he said, whoever has the son, or he that has the son, has life. And he that had not the son of God had not life. For he who has the son has eternal life. I have the son. I have eternal life. He who has the Son has eternal life. Oh, just sit. I have the Son. I have eternal life. keep bringing you up. I'll call you up soon. Hallelujah. Now, the moment you receive this life, there is a translocation. You are transferred from one location to another. This is the first thing you have to know. The day you came out and said, Lord Jesus, I receive your life, something happened to you. You were translocated, transferred into another kingdom. Gradually, we are beginning to touch the issues of the kingdom. Colossians 1 from verse 12. Colossians 1 from verse 12. The Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet, qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Talking about new birth now. He has made us qualified to inherit or to be part of the life of Christ. Then next verse, the Bible says, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated, the word translate here is transferred, and has transferred us. So you were in the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says he transferred you into the kingdom of what? Of his dear son. So the moment you receive the life of Christ, that's what happened. It's like you are here and this is the domain of darkness. Now, Lord Jesus, I receive your life and I ask for forgiveness of sin. The Bible says on account of that, you are translocated from here. You are transferred from here into a new kingdom. That's where yieldedness starts. Next verse, please. In whom we have redemption. So he's talking about new birth. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So the moment your sins are forgiven and you have received the life of Christ, that you are transferred. You no longer belong to that kingdom of darkness. And of course, there are just two kingdoms here. We will see a lot of that during the conference. We don't have more than two kingdoms, brother. The kingdom of light and the kingdom of period. And everybody belongs to one. I'm an atheist. That's nonsense. I don't believe in any God. That's nonsense. You don't have to believe. By not believing Jesus, you belong to that kingdom. Period. I don't serve Jesus. You serve Satan. Period. Whether consciously or unconsciously, there are just two kingdoms. The Bible says, for you now, you have been translated, transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of God. So when you receive his life, that's what happens to you. And do you know that Jesus was the first to be born again? I've told you that before. That this born again thing, we are asking people to come into the kingdom. Jesus was the first to be born again. The first birth of Jesus, he was born first of a woman. Is that it? The virgin birth, he was born of a woman. And then at the end of his passion and sacrifice for us, he became sin. So he now was a part of that kingdom that we are delivered from. He became sin and he died, was buried in the womb of the earth. And the Bible says on the third day the Holy Ghost came and gave him life again and birthed him again. That was the second birth. Jesus was born again. The first birth by Mary, the second birth by the Spirit. Say amen. So for you too, the first birth by your mother and the second birth by who? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. The first birth by your mother, call her name. Grace. Right? This is my mother. She gave birth to me. First birth, Mommy Grace. Second birth, the Holy Ghost. Huh? Do you know that when we are making altar call and somebody is standing and the Lord is telling him go out, and another spirit is saying you can't go out, that's labor. No, you don't know. That's labor. The spirit is trying to bet him into the kingdom. So the Holy Ghost is pushing him, go. It's like saying push. And the forces of darkness are saying push, waiting. You are not going nowhere. And then if his time has come, his EDD, say amen. I started hearing all of those things when I got married. If you are not married, you don't know anything around that area. If you know EDD, I will ask you, how did you know? Huh? Now, when your EDD has come, believe me, as a young man, you are not born again. You enter a service like this. An altar call is made. Look at what happened. You are restless in your spirit. It's like a force pushing you. At times you see people coming out, you will know that on a normal day they wouldn't have come out. Something stronger than them compel them. It is labor. Look at what Paul said. My little children, in whom I travel. This is how you bet people into the kingdom. Hallelujah. New birth. So Jesus was born again. Then you too now expected to be born again. And the moment you are born again, you are transferred into another kingdom. Look at the second thing that happens to you when you are born again. You no longer have a past. When you are born again, you no longer, because you are talking about being yielded to a new system, a new government, you no longer have a past. 2 Corinthians 5:17. For if any man, or therefore if any man be in Christ, the Bible says he's what? He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are now new. You no longer have a past. Verse 21. He said, for him who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. This is the next thing that happens to me. And I shared with us during the Easter service, the anointing service, that one of the things that happen to you again when you are born again is that you become rapturable. Is that it? Have you forgotten so soon? Tell yourself, I'm rapturable. Let me tell you. You will not hear the sound of the trumpet if you are not born again. You will not hear the sound of the trumpet if the Holy Spirit is not in you. The trumpet will blow. Listen, let's assume it blow now, and your neighbor is not born again. He won't even hear. He will only realize that the clothes you are wearing are left on that seat and you are gone. Bought your Bible and your iPhone. Let him carry it. As far as you're concerned, a new reality. Is that true? Yes. Maybe you will just look and say, iPhone 13 Pro. Carry it, but you've missed something, oh. The moment you are born again, the Father sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart. Galatians 4:6. He said, now that you are the sons of God, now that you have received His life, the Bible said, God had sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart. You have received the Spirit of His Son. This is what makes you rapturable. Believe me, without the Spirit of His Son in your heart, you are not going anywhere. Because I will show you how rapture happens. The same thing that happened to Jesus is what will happen to us. The Bible said, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is that in your Bible? Dwells in you. He will quicken your mortal bodies. When that time comes, He will give you another body that permits for you to levitate and to leave this realm. It is the Holy Ghost that will do that. So you are not born again, forget it. And this is the first way to yield to this new system. New life. Receiving His Christ, His life. So you transfer allegiance to a new system. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all. One more time. I pledge allegiance to the Lord with all, with all I am. I will seek to honor His command. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Hallelujah. So you are in the new kingdom and you pay allegiance to the new king. Now the second way to yield is by giving Him your life. And this is really where the work is now. By giving Him your life. The first one was by what? By receiving His life. Then the second is by giving him your life. Brother, there are two different things. You receive his life in a moment. In fact, it doesn't take more than 1 minute. You are born again. You've received his life. Is that it? But brother, to give him your life is a lifetime journey. Oh yes, it is a lifetime journey. It is called the mystery of surrender, where you keep yielding and surrendering every aspect of your life until you completely become yielded and sold out to the Lord. That one cannot happen in one day. You don't even have what it takes to do it in one day. Oh no. This one now is really where the work is. The Bible says, for as many who are led by the Spirit, they are what? They are the sons of God. This is now the scriptures that guide this dimension, where this life now is no longer your own. You are beginning to, you see, you do it willingly. You give him yourself willingly. Nobody can force you to do that one. No. A preacher can sweet tongue you, good mouth you, and bring you into the kingdom. But that this one now is something you have to do willingly, submitting your life to him, handing it over to him. This is not the born again experience. This one now is a life of total surrender. Giving him your life means making him become in charge of your life, in charge of your ministry, in charge of your finances, in charge of your relationship, in charge of your marriage, in charge of whatever it is that is connected to your being. Allowing him to decide your events. I'm going to talk about the will of God within the conference. It will build on this, but let's just take this for this night. Allowing him to decide your event. Allowing him to decide your movements and progresses. Allowing him to decide the pace in which you move. A point where you are led by the Spirit and by the Word. Living within the confines of his will. Now maturity is coming, because this one now is no longer for children. Maturity is now coming. Remember, and you see, God can be very patient with you when it has to do with this. You can be born again and then you are still in charge of your life, and God can be okay with it for a long while. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you are born again, but you still lie so much, and God is okay. He's not even saying anything. So you still come into the church. You even have miracles happen. One prophecy, bah, you just go, doors open, and you still come back to share testimony. And the one now who have surrendered everything is still on his knees praying and fasting, and nothing is happening. A lot of things can be wrong with you at this season. I mean, you have not completely yielded everything, and God is still making things happen for you. Remember the parable of Jesus in Matthew 13, I believe. How that the Bible said, a good man went and sowed his wheat, right? And at night, while men slept, the enemy went and sowed tares in that field. Now, the servant went in the morning and saw that the field was littered around with tares. And they came to the good man and said, see, master, permit us to go and uproot these ones that are bad. What did the man say? He said, allow them both to grow. There are a lot of believers that many things are growing alongside the will of God. I mean, God is not yet completely in charge of your life. There are many other things around, and God have allowed both to grow. But listen, when God start working on you, or when you start assuming maturity, listen, you will willingly, in fact, at times you will do it in tears. You might be in the room alone and then just worshiping and studying. Then the Holy Ghost comes on you and convicts an area of your life, and you are in tears. Oh God, do you mean I've been in charge of my finances? What do you want from me, oh God? You will be weeping alone while nobody is flogging you. It's like having a 5-bedroom flat, and a visitor comes into your house and you give him access to your parlor, your sitting room. There are other rooms in that house he doesn't have access to. Is that it? So if anything happened, at least he can help out with whatever it is within the parlor. But then if anything is happening at the room, he's not in charge of it. That's exactly how it is with our life. Many of us have permitted Jesus into one area of our life, but there are still areas that he's not in charge. There are still areas. Lord, you are in charge of my spiritual life, but you see this thing about who to marry, allow me with my eyes. Jesus, what did I say? Allow me with my eyes. I'm not blind. I know what to choose. Save Johnny. No, that's it. Save Johnny. Are you seeing it now? So that area of your life, you are still in charge. You are the one to decide what happened. But for your spiritual life, he's in charge. Oh God, for my finances, take control. But you see this thing, ministry, allow me, I know what to do. I'm smart, at least I'm not a dummy. And God is all right. The one that you've decided to do with your strength, right on. The one you allow me access into, can I help you? While I talk now, you might have to start going through many areas of your life to find out which one have I yielded to him and which one am I still in control of. You know, a lot of us think we depend on God until there is a real challenge. You will now know that is your uncle. 1 Timothy 1:12. Take all of me, Lord. You are my everything. Take all of me. 2 Timothy. All of me, Lord. Watch this. He said, I saw this scripture many years back. I think my 100 level or two. He said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have what? Committed unto him against that day. There is a day coming. That day will test whether that thing is in your hand or God's hands. So the one that you have committed into his hands, when that day comes, he will secure it. The one that is still in your hands, when that day comes, you will have to secure it yourself. When I saw this scripture many years back, I lay down in my room and cried. I said, Lord, you see this ministry? I give it to you. I give it to you. I commit it into your hand. I cannot die. You died already for the ministry. I can't die again. My own death will be useless because you've died already. I commit this into your hands. See, this is the secret of living life stress-free. Stress-free. Business will kill you if it's still in your hands. That relationship will kill you if it's still in your hands. Ministry will frustrate you if it's still in your hands. Believe it. Academics will frustrate you if it's still in your hands. But the moment you commit it into his hands, the Bible says he now will keep it against any day. Day of troubles, day of persecutions, day of going through process, he will keep it. When I saw this, this for me was a deliverance. Deliverance. I told myself, I can't be worried one day. I can't be disturbed one day. Not even about this ministry, because it's no longer my ministry. I have committed it to him. I have yielded it to him. I give my everything tonight. I give my everything. I yield my everything to you. I yield my everything. Yeah, I give my everything. Yeah. And listen, like I said, you can receive his life in just one service. You are born again, you've received his life. But for this one, it doesn't happen once. God will have to keep conquering you. There are some of you, it was just some days back, you surrender certain aspect of your life to God. I had a vision, I think 3-4 years back. I was in my room having time of worship and prayer and preparing for service, and the Lord walked into my room. I felt somebody's steps walking in. I knew. The atmosphere of his glory filled that room while I prayed. And just pay attention. I wanted to turn. I could not. I knew he was about to say something. And he told me, "Jonathan, can you give me your life? 3-4 years back, I've been preaching and traveling, people calling apostle. I didn't know that I've not given him my life. This is when I started learning these things I'm teaching you now. That you can be born again for 20 years. You have received his life, but you have not given him your own. Believe what I'm telling you. Just 3 years back, God is asking, can I give him? In fact, this were the words he used. Can you lend me your life? Yes. Can you? I want to use your life. Can you lend me your life? And I remember responding. I said, Lord, lend you. I'm giving it to you. With tears, I surrender it to you. That's when I knew that you can have his life while he's still looking for your own to have. This one is a journey. And you'll be very surprised that one day again, God can come and tell me, Jonathan, can you give me family worship? Because you know we are not yet there. No, we are not yet there. 2, 3, 4 years to come, maybe God would have granted us grace and enlargement. Now we feel like we have entered a season. And then maybe I'm now feeling like, okay, one great man of God somewhere. And God will come and say, okay, I'm demanding that ministry from you. Do you know that our preachers today, even if Jesus physically appear and say, give me the microphone, they won't give him? No, you don't believe it? There are preachers that feel they are building one kind of estate for themselves, and they are already lining up their children and creating a system that makes it like a family thing. Believe what I'm telling you. Even if God say, hand it over to somebody else, they'll say, no way, I've been training my first son. Building an estate for themselves. If for whatever reason Jesus physically appear and say, give me the mic and be an usher in this church, they will tell Jesus, no way. Do you know how long it took me to build this thing? Although they built it in his name, but that they have not surrendered it to him. Brother, what I'm teaching you now, man, is what makes you become a mature believer. That there is nothing God will demand of you and you won't give. Look at Abraham. Give me your son. He asked God, when do you want it? Tomorrow morning. The Bible says he woke up in the morning and took that boy without consulting with his wife. This is maturity. A proof that everything you own has been given to him. Have you come to that point yet? It's a level of maturity, your brother. Where you are seated in a service like this, you just bought a brand new suit. You are even about to start cruising the suit from tomorrow's service. And God will tell you, look at your neighbor. Your body size is the same. Carry that suit you bought for the 8,000 naira and give him. You are like, Lord Jesus, see, I've told you that when it has to do with my clothes and material, hold your peace. You can ask anything, but that one is my own. Believe it. Take all of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me, Lord. Take all of me, Lord. Take all of me. Is he yet in charge of your marriage? Is he yet in charge of your finances? Is he yet in charge of your career? Is he yet in charge of your movement, even where you stay? Lord, I want to move to Maitama, and he will tell you, no, you still need to remain around Nyanya. He said, Lord, I'm not moving. I want to move. Your children are attending their school. Lord, I'm about to change their school. And he said, allow them there. No, Lord, I now have the means. Let me tell you. Do you know that the moment God starts lifting you financially, you don't ask him many questions again? You only consult with God when you don't have the means. The moment you start having the means, many times you don't ask God again. God will only find you moving. But when you are completely yielded everything, believe me, every of your steps are ordered. Like Paul, you will now come to a point where in him I live, in him I move. Help him there, and in him I have my being. You see, your life is no longer yours. He is the one deciding your event. Hallelujah. I listened to the story of my father, Apostle Joshua Selman. One time he said, in his bank account, some millions were missing like that. And he went, some of you have listened to the testimony. He went to the bank. In fact, he shared it with me again personally. He went to the bank and was with them, telling them, all right, some money disappeared from my account. Please, and then he said, we are very sorry. And they had to start finding ways to see how the money disappeared. And while he was waiting, God asked him, why are you here? He said, I came for my money. God said, your money? Okay, if it's your money, stay. But if it's not your money, leave and go home. It was not 100,000, some millions. I came for my money. God said, did you call it your money? If it's your money, stay. And then he said, he had to talk to the bank. He said, all right, forget about it. Forget about it. They didn't even know what was happening in his mind, in his spirit. He said, forget about it. They said, no, sir. It's our fault. We have to find a way. He said, I said, forget about it. Is it your money? And that's how he left. And that was the end of it. You will think you have handed over that aspect to him until the day he demands for it. That's when you will know that the grip over it is so strong. So when you hear him say things like, if God asked me to close Koinonia today, I will close it. You see, if you have not been there, don't make that kind of statement. Oh, there are some of us, if God said close this ministry, you will tell God, which one? Is it the branch we are about to start? I'll be this one. Because if it's the branch we have not even started, we can stop. But this one, do you know how long it took us, Lord? There are claims you should not make until God have taken you through that journey. Believe it. So when you hear men, especially men of God, make some bold claims, brother, it is their height in their walk with God. It's not something you should copy and paste. You copy it and paste, it won't work that way. No. Some of us, our mother, have entered those realms. People will come to the house, and then the food they cook, they will give everybody. And mama will go back and drink garri, and then everybody is wondering, you give everybody food and you are drinking garri, what happened? It's because that aspect of her life has been given out. It doesn't mean anything again to her. Yieldedness. There are some of us tonight, you know what God will demand of you? The next 14 days of your night, I need just 2 hours between this night and the next 14 days, just 2 hours every night. That's what I want. I want to introduce you to another season. Take all of me, Lord, you have my everything. Take all of me, Lord.
I give my everything.
I give.
times we sing them in songs, but can I tell you, many times while we are singing those songs, they are only prayers, they are not yet our lives. We are only praying and hoping. I am your own. You see, when you sing songs like that, don't think, many times they are just prayers. You are hoping that everything has been given. Till the day you will come, Jesus, I am your one. I am your one. I am your one. Till the day you will come, Jesus. Listen, tonight, this is where God will want us to start from. Laying as much as you will desire, laying it before Him. You know, there are some of you here, what God might be desiring from you tonight is 2 more years. You are about to step into one relationship and God is saying 2 more years. There are some of you like that. That's what He wants. And you are like, Lord, 2 more years, how will I stay? I'm already 23. As a lady, please help the lady. I'm already here. How will I just... That's what God is saying. Meanwhile, there are some of you that might have to back out. You're already heading somewhere that only you know. And God might be desiring, all I want is give up that relationship. I have other plans for you. Somebody else might almost be at the verge of compromising. Sign something in your office. Let's see. Find a way to just do something and something. And God is saying, no. Your life now is in my hands. Allow me to move it in my pace. Some of you are already getting discouraged. Oh God, why does it look like my life is backward? I've told you countless times, when God is the one keeping you, rejoice. I know it might not be easy to wait, but if your life is in, you are worrying as if the life is in your hands. When I check your level of worry, I can know that you've not given Him that life yet. Because if that life was in His hands, you shouldn't be worried. How about allowing Him? I've told you, when God keep you for long, there is a plan. There is a plan. For they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings. Mount up with wings. If your life is in His hands, you won't be pressured. No, you won't be by nothing. You won't be pressured. You will move according to the measure of grace. But that everything about my life, I give myself away. Oh God, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Yeah. I give myself away
so you can use me.
I give myself away. Yes, I give myself away. I
give myself away.
So you
can use.
I give myself away.
Give myself away.
I give myself away.
Give myself away.
Listen, so that you come to a point where your will is no longer fighting His will. We are going to talk about the will of God one of these days. You have completely surrendered to His will.
total surrender.
That's what we're talking about.
Total yieldedness. Brother, at this point, there is nothing God cannot put in your hands, because he knows that when he demands for it, you will still give him back. There is nothing he can't give you. No platform, nowhere.
We're about to pray tonight. And listen, tonight is the night. You see, you will cry it out and say, Lord, take this life. Take my business. I've been struggling with the business. I've been struggling with the ministry. See, he's about to kill me now. I've been struggling with the children. I give you back the children. They are your children. The husband is your own. The wife is your own. The career is your own. I can't manage it like you want me to. I am yielding it to you. For he's able to keep that which we have committed to the times. Hallelujah. Listen, please be on your feet, except if you are lying down or kneeling down, that'll be fine. But if you are seated, but if you are in a position that is convenient for you, please just take it and be calm. Listen, we are going to cry out. Listen, if this all that happens tonight, fine. From tomorrow we can continue. We have a lot of days. I still have 5 sessions with you. Listen, you are going to pray. You know the areas that looks like you are still in charge. If it's your children, maybe one of your child is giving you headache, hand him over to God. No, you see, the child is giving you problem because he's your son. How about handing him over to God? Lord, from today, this is your son. I hand over Moses to you. I hand over whoever his name is to the Lord. Maybe it's your husband. I hand him over to you. Maybe it's your wife. I hand her over to you. Listen, do you know I used to pray this? I used to tell God, Lord, even this wife is not my own, it's your own. Yes, so I used to pray it. Even my daughter is not mine, it's yours. Anything you make your own, ba, will give you headache. I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you. Make it your own and see how you die with it. You are going to pray. If you feel like crying, cry. If you want to lie down, lie down. If you want to shout, shout. But you will cry and say, Lord, I hand over my life. I hand over my career. I hand over the ministry. I hand over everything to you. Is someone praying already? I hand over my company to you. Outside, pray. You are following from your house, pray. You are in your car, pray. Heavy campus, pray. I hand over. I hand over. I surrender it all. I hand over my academics to you. I hand over my CGPA to you. I hand over my supervisor to you. I give myself away. someone praying. I hand over my parents to you. I hand over their health to you. I hand over my body, my health to you. I hand over that doctor's report to you. I hand over that doctor's report to you. I hand it over. I hand it over. I hand over. Listen, we're going to pray it one more time, but listen. Do you know that these are the kind of prayers some of our parents prayed that preserved us? Mama did not used to pray for 3, 5, 10 hours, but she wakes up every night to say, Lord, I commit my children into your hands. I put them in your hands. Look at what your life has become. Believe me. She cannot pray long, but she knows how to commit you to the hands of God. And while you step out, God is the one charting the course of your life. You don't even know what is responsible. It is a prayer of your mother somewhere. Listen. One more time. Call those areas of your name, your life by name. Lord, my ministry. Lord, my finance. Lord, my marriage. Lord, my academics. Lord, the scholarship. This thing cannot kill me. I hand it over. I surrender this night. I surrender this night. Is someone surrendering all? I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. Behold the blessing. Behold the blessing. I surrender to you. Everything I give to you. Behold the blessing. Behold the blessing. Hallelujah. Listen, this is the mystery behind dedications. When we bring children and dedicate them, what we are doing is that we are handing them over to God. This is your own. when Samuel was given birth to, the Bible said he was kept in the temple. Did you ever hear that Samuel was taken to one hospital somewhere? God will have to fend for the one that is his. The one you give into his hands is the one he preserves. Lord, may there not be an aspect of my life under my control. No, no. May there not be anything you've given me that I've taken possession of. Listen, I will teach you at the course of the conference. Listen, that anything you own, if you come to a point where you own things in this kingdom, you become a rebel. Because originally, in a kingdom system, you don't own anything. Everything you have belongs to the king, including yourself. He said the earth is the Lord's and his fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. So both the world, everything you own belong. See, when you get these revelations, there are many things you will struggle with. You will struggle with so many things because you feel they are yours. And I'm trying to prove a point to someone. Oh, I can guarantee you, you will struggle. The day it becomes his, you will only step back and then you will prove the point you are trying to prove.
I lay my everything.
Lift your hands. You don't have to sing. Lift your hands.
I give my everything. I drop my everything. I submit my everything. I give my everything.
My children, my husband, my relationship,
I give my everything.
My job, it looks like my job is being threatened, no promotion.
I give my everything.
My health has been disturbing me.
I give my everything.
My body, I give this body to you. It's yours.
Take all of me, all of me, Lord. I give my everything. Take all of me, take all of me, Lord. I yield my everything. I give my everything. Yeah. I give my everything. Arakabalata. I give my everything. I give my everything.
Lift your hands wherever you are and just be still. Lift your hands. Shalom. Lord, tonight is a night of surrender. Invade us. Take those aspects of our lives that we have been in charge of. We surrender. Listen, there are going to be testimonies from this service. We hand over our siblings to you that don't know you yet. We hand over our children. We hand over those businesses. We hand over our health. We hand over everything that concerns us. Whatever you've given us, we give them back to you. Oh, we know that you are able to keep. We give them back to you. We give them back to you. For many of you, you are going to be receiving instructions, even from here and this night, on areas of your life you need to lay down. Allow him to be in charge of. But I pray for everyone tonight in the name of Jesus. Rise to a new height of surrender, a new level of yieldedness, a new level of yieldedness. May there not be an aspect of your life that is still within your control. May God keep conquering those aspects of your lives. May he bring them under his influence. May he bring them under his control. Let me sing a prophetic song over us and we close. Lift your hands.
shadow of your wings.
Take the key down. Just lift your hands. But I see the Lord baptizing a few people with fresh passion and love for Him. Your influence is all over me. I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. Oh, you will love Jesus like never before. I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. Everything about your life is coming under the influence of the Spirit. Yeah. I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. I see three of you outside. Fresh fire and baptism coming on you right now. The shadow of your wing, your influence is all over me. I'm under the shadow of your wing, your influence is all over me. Over to Him, a place where He's in charge of your event, in charge of your life, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now listen, you are here while everybody stands. This is a very holy atmosphere. If you are kneeling, you can just remain. Let there be calmness. You are here, you have not received His life. What I mean is that you've not been born again. Or you know there is a need to rededicate your life to Jesus, to come back home, to love Him genuinely. Maybe a lot of things have happened in your lives, and then right now you just can't trust it, and you know there is a need for reconnection to God wherever you are. I know the Holy Spirit is already talking to you like I preached earlier. Come, the Lord is talking to you. Come, please let movement be minimized. We'll soon close. Come. If God is talking to you like that, come. Maybe there is something about your life, an addiction, a character problem that needs to break. Or you just know there is a need to surrender or rededicate your life and receive this life of God Zoe into you. Come quickly. I'm waiting for you.
Maybe you are coming from the overflow. Come.
I have just one life to live, and it must glorify you. I am yours, O Lord, in time and for all.
You don't have to kneel. Just stand, my dear sister. Just stand.
I have just...
You can just stand, brother. You can just stand. Just stand.
And it must... I am yours, O Lord.
Just stand, please. Stand so that there can be space. Come. Stand. There are a lot of people coming behind you. Stand. Come closer.
I have just...
If the Lord is talking to you, don't be the last to show up. Come.
And it must glorify you. I am yours, O Lord, in time and for all eternity.
Listen, I want to pray for you and welcome you back home. Brand new life. You love Jesus and be established in grace. He's going to keep you. Place your hand in your heart. I want you to pray this prayer and mean it from the very depth of your heart. Say, dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Those of you who are coming, be praying while you come. I believe you died for me. Tonight, I confess with my mouth, and I believe with my heart that you are my Lord and Savior. Forgive all my sins. I receive by faith the very life of God, eternal life. I'm a child of God now. I'm born again today. I'm planted and established in grace. Forward ever with Jesus, and backward never. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Father, I pray for your sons and daughters, those in Kefi campus who have come out, those following online. I decree that the name of the Lord be named upon you today. Love Jesus and be established in grace. And from today forward ever and backward never, let addictions be broken in this altar now. Let the grip of sin be broken now. Love the Lord and walk with him. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please listen. The program continues tomorrow by 5. I think tomorrow is public holiday. Yes. So please don't miss tomorrow. Ensure you are around as God still brings his word to us and build and guide us in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I hope that one of these days I will have time, which may be after the conference, to just see you and discuss with you. But the Lord is going to keep you in Jesus' name. Can you stand? Those of you who are kneeling, stand. Please, you will take this way, follow the person there with the placard, lift it higher. That placard, I'm a counselor, you just go with the person and then they will attend to you, right? God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Please go with them. God bless you, God bless you.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.